Welcome to Reflections and Wonders, Paul's Letter to the Ephesians, a podcast that's just me wondering off the top of my head about that letter to the churches in Ephesus. My name's Norm Seeley, and I'm a minister at Jubilee United Church in Toronto, Canada. And I've been a minister for over 30 years, and I wonder about a lot of things. So Monday through Friday, I will be wondering my way through Ephesians, a little bit at a time. I don't have notes, and I'm only using the tools that come immediately to mind. There may be greater historical truth with more study, but it's been my experience that as I wonder, I can begin to hear what God is saying to me right here and right now, about right here and right now, as opposed to a history lesson. I want to learn something about my life and the world that I live in. So I'm hoping that you might have the same kind of experience as we wander together. Drew Winters provided the music, isn't it great? And I will do my best to keep my wanderings between 18 and 30 minutes. But every once in a while, even if the letter is short, I might go a couple minutes long. You should know that this is an audio version of a video blog that I recorded 2 weeks ago. So, if you want to see what I look like when I'm wondering, you can find me on my YouTube channel. Search Norm Seeley, S-E-L-I. Or, even easier, you can find me on the Jubilee United Church website, www.jubileeunited.ca. And if you want to support this and other digital ministries of Jubilee United Church, well, you can make a donation through canadahelps.org. We are Jubilee United Church in Ontario. So, now let's see what Paul has to say to the Ephesians, and more importantly, what God might be saying to us. And, we're going to wrap up at the end of this week, so I'm only reading a little bit so I can space it out. But actually, I am doing a little bit for a reason. So today it's Ephesians 6, 1-4. Not very much in it. And it would be easy to roll on, except that I'm looking at it and Paul says something. I just didn't feel like rolling it all together. I wanted to stop and wonder about one little bit. So we'll do that. And yesterday we had a big bit, right? Yesterday Paul told us that wives should be subject to their husbands as we are subject to the Lord. So I needed to unpack that. And I needed to wonder about Paul and what's going on with Paul and why he says this and why he says that. And I found it started to make some sense. And a passage that I have found very difficult in the past started to become a little friendlier. But more than that, I started to hear something emerge from that. I really do feel I had that sense of being able to understand, to hear God in those words a little more clearly than I have in the past. So today we're going on in that same vein. Well, you know what? I'll just read it and we'll see what happens. But I said, just a short piece. So here it is. It's Ephesians 6, 1-4. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Quote, honor your father and mother, end quote. This is the first commandment with a promise, quote, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth, end quote. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So, yesterday I wondered if Paul had ever been married. Well, I know he hasn't, and to me it seemed obvious. But Paul has been a child. And you get a sense from Paul that he was a disciplined child. And I don't mean that he was beaten. I mean that he responded to the guidance of his parents and he was a well-disciplined, obedient child. Right up until that didn't make sense for him anymore in terms of how that obedience fit into his faith. And so he broke away. But I suspect that up until that road to Damascus moment with the risen Christ, I think that Paul pretty much did what he was told the way he was told to do it. I don't know why I think that. I just do. So I can't sort of look at it sideways and go, well, what you're saying here about parents and children, no, you've never been a child. No, he has been. No, he may never been a father, but he has been a child, and so he does have an understanding of that dynamic, that relationship. So I'm more likely to accept what he is saying, I suppose. Obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. He also quotes Deuteronomy. So when Deuteronomy gives us the Ten Commandments, there's some reward involved. So honor your father and mother. That's quoted from Deuteronomy, the Ten Commandments. This is the first commandment with a promise, he says. And then he gives more of Deuteronomy, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So in Deuteronomy, the idea is that if you honor your mother and father, you will live well. You will live long and you will live well. So there is a reward. If you don't honor, we might assume then that there is a punishment, that you will not succeed, you will suffer, you will die a horrible death when you're young. I don't know. But there definitely is that sense in Deuteronomy that you want to do these things to lengthen and embellish your life here and now, right? This is, Deuteronomy doesn't have that Christian idea of heaven and a reward in heaven where, you know, you get rewarded for all the good you did on earth. No, the reward here is that, no, you will live well and you will live long. But it's a reward. So honor your father and mother, you'll be rewarded. And I have heard this passage. Well, and the second part, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Okay? So, like, don't be mean to your kids. Okay, I get that. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So it's pretty clear that you're meant to discipline and instruct children. And I have heard this passage, this specific passage, used to remind parents that it is their job to teach their children obedience, to discipline them. And sometimes, depending on your culture, physical discipline, physical punishment is completely warranted. Look, right here, it says so, right? Paul said, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but do bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So do your job. And so fathers do their jobs, and they do it the same way they've just been instructed. It's been demanded of them. They can then turn and demand their children and call that, demand of their children and call that discipline and instruction. They can punish children because children don't always understand or appreciate the reason or the argument for doing something right. And so you spank them if they're not going to church. Or if they slip out, or if they keep some of the offering money to themselves. I'm not talking about me. I'm just talking about things for which children have been punished. And we just go to Ephesians and go, well, there you go. You see, that's their job. And by the way, we're doing this so that our children may be rewarded. Whether we see that as being living well and long on the earth or some kind of heavenly reward, the thing is, we do it to our children. We are cruel, perhaps, or we are difficult to our children. We make the tough calls, and we can't hurt their feelings and even their bodies a little bit. And we do that because it's for their good. They will get rewarded. It says so. Paul quoted Deuteronomy. It's got to be the case. And like I said, I can't just disagree with this because Paul was never a child. No, he was. But I find this difficult too. Again, Paul's trying to work out or use a certain type of relationship to understand a little bit about our relationship to God. So he's using child and parent one here. But I have to wonder whether intentionally or unintentionally, if he hasn't actually put something subversive in here. And it wouldn't be like Paul to be subversive. He's pretty clear. But I got to tell you, my mind starts working subversively as I wonder about this passage. So as I said, children, obey your parents in the Lord. This is right. Honor your father and mother. So obey your parents in the Lord. Does sound like that's part of your obligation to God, right? That's part of your faith. It is. Your faith in God is manifest by obeying your parents. Yeah, Parents, your job to make sure they do that. I mean, even if it takes spanking, whatever it takes, that's what it is. It's your job, discipline and instruction. But what if children obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, doesn't mean obey your parents as part of your obligation to God, as part of your obedience to God? What if this means obey your parents in the Lord, understanding your parents have experience of God that you do not have? Listen to them. Listen to your elders, listen to your ancestors, but listen to your parents. You have an intimate relationship, they have experience, and we learn about God not just through personal experience, but the experiences of others as well. Right? I mean, if we don't hear the experiences of others, then we don't have a way to interpret our own experience. But if we're just going at someone else's experience, then we never have a moment ourselves either. And Paul would be very big on that. Paul is very, yes, you should learn your stuff, but you need a revelation. You need an experience of God to make faith work. Okay, so the law is lovely, but you need the revelation. You need the experience of God. And I think when he's talking here about parents and children, he's going, okay, so obey your parents in the Lord, meaning learn about God through them. And do absolutely obey them, because they do know more, and you are wandering into mystery, into things you don't understand. And honoring your father and mother is a good way to live well in the world, absolutely. And so Paul might be evoking that reward, and therefore implying punishment. But I think that Paul might just be giving children the tools by which they discern how to obey their parents. If your parents are instructing you in the way of the Lord, if they're asking you to do those things that are in keeping with what you know of God and your faith, then absolutely obey them. Just go with them. Do that, absolutely. But if your parents aren't in the Lord, and I don't mean been cut out of, you know, faith community. I mean, if your parents aren't in the Lord, if they are demanding of you things that do not fit into the faith that you have learned in community and learned from your parents, if they're asking you to do something that is immoral, then maybe no. No. Maybe you don't. By the way, to make sure that there's some safety to do that, we're reminding fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Okay? But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Not your discipline, not your instruction. The discipline and instruction of the Lord. The Lord who Paul has experienced, the risen Christ, the Lord who goes to the cross and dies for us, who finds somebody like Paul who is struggling and hurting and lost and doing damage to himself and to the world, and interrupts his life and says, Paul, why are you persecuting me? Fathers, parents, do not provoke your children to anger. Right? Don't do that. But bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. So be there. Interrupt their lives when they are going to hurt themselves. But do it gently. Do it lovingly. Remember that the discipline and the instruction are from God, not from you. If you want to turn your child into a mini version of you, well, that's your business, but that's not God's business. And your children don't have to honor and obey that. Because that's not in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. The Lord didn't say anything about me having to wear a fedora and get a job just like my dad's. By the way, my dad does not wear a fedora. But I have learned about compassion and patience and love from my parents. I have learned more about God through my parents than I think they suspect. Given what I do for a living, I think that they think that their contribution is long gone, and yet they contribute every day. And I mean that sincerely. I look at the way my parents are with each other and the world, and I see God. Not because my parents are particularly holy people. They're certainly not known as holy people. I don't think of them as holy people, other than I think of everybody that's holy. But I see them in the Lord, or I see the Lord in them, right? And so I honor them based on that. And I think that that's important to understand, that there are limits sometimes to what we can demand of a relationship. So many times you can say, because I said so. There's only so many times you can say, but I'm your father, you have to do this. No, there's a point at which you go, no, I'm sorry, Dad, you want me to break the law, you want me to do something immoral. And the answer is no. But you have to honor me, but you're not asking me to obey you in the Lord. Right? You're asking me to cheat a neighbor. By the way, my father's never asked me to do any of these things. But I'm just imagining that. So I have heard this as a call for children to blindly obey what their parents tell them to do. Just blindly obey it. And by the way, I've seen this passage used to tell parents that that's how they're supposed to raise their kids, to blindly obey. Why are you bothering explaining it to him? Just tell him that's what he has to do. You're his father. There's a place in between. I mean, I know there's a place where you can tell kids whatever you want. They're not listening. They're not tracking. That's the truth. I get it. And then there are the parents who just demand, and it's so regimented and it lacks feeling. It lacks real human connection. And that's not right either. But somewhere in the middle, where we obey our parents in the Lord, that starts to make sense. Am I making sense to you here? Or am I just trying to dance around Paul saying something that I don't like very much because I was probably a pretty disobedient kid? Still am, I suppose. I hear this and I wonder, you know, could you disobey your parents if they were not in the Lord? And I think about it, and I read this passage, and I think, yeah, I think you can. I don't know whether Paul means that intentionally, or that's just where my wondering goes, but if my parents want me to do something that is not in the Lord, if my father demands me to do something that is morally repugnant, that might be too strong a word, but crosses the line, you know, then I have the right to say no. And by the way, he should not provoke me to anger. Which means he should also not get angry with me. But understand that ultimately, it is God's love that's supposed to flow through us. Child to parent, parent to child. And we should see that as holy love. And not attach our agendas to it. That's what I'm thinking with this passage right now. But it's a short passage, and maybe I've got it wrong, but maybe I'm just going to leave it with you to consider and wonder about. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Is this a demand for blind obedience to our parents and a warrant for our parents to punish us when we don't comply? Is Paul being authoritarian here, or is he being subversive? I hear something subverse in it. I hear some subversiveness in it, but that may be just me. So I'm going to leave it with you for the day. I'll offer prayer, and then we'll see what happens next. So let us pray. Loving God, thank you for Paul's words, even when they're not entirely clear. Somehow in the fog, in the In the act of wondering, we begin to actually hear what you are saying to us. So God, we thank you for the opportunity to wonder. Wonderful material to inspire our wonder. And we ask God that we have something to offer the world. We pray in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. Amen. So that's it for me today. But I will check in with you tomorrow. And we'll see who else has to obey whomever. until I get to see you, God bless you. So please know that when I say that, I'm trying to tell you that God sees you and loves you. God does knows you exactly as you are and loves you that way, but is also with you as you change and grow. But in this moment and in the next, God's love flows through you and into the world, and that's important to remember. You don't have to qualify for that. You simply have to love. So thank you for being you. Thank you for sharing God's love, and come back tomorrow. See what happens. God bless.